I'm going to have you to look with me at two unusual Christmas passages this morning. And I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You'll understand where I'm going in a few minutes. And I had somebody years ago when I was pastor in Pensacola, Florida, as a fellow who was very active in the church there, but he's just a real great Christian man. And he listened to a lot of preachers and a lot of radio preachers, television preachers, and he was always in revivals and camp meeting. And he was going through, and he came to me one time, and he said, "Preacher," said, "I've been listening to you a while now." And he said, "Every preacher you listen to, they've got kind of a theme. They've got something that that you can count on. They're going to deal with it somehow, one way or another." And he talked about Peter Ruckman, who's now in heaven, said, "Dr. Ruckman's Bible prophecy, he's always, you guarantee he's going to tie something to Bible prophecy." And two or three others he mentioned everything. And he said, but "I found out that I don't care what you preach on for us over, you're going to talk about the cross and about what Jesus did for us on the cross and bore our sins in his own body on the tree." And I said, and all of it's true. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. I said, "But if it hadn't been for Calvary, there'd be nothing else." Amen. If he hadn't went to Calvary, we wouldn't have anything. I want you to look this morning with me, and I want to just read a couple of verses, and I'm mindful of your time and our time. I appreciate that. Brother Gary is doing a tremendous job with the Bible Institute, and we're going to start a new semester coming up and about the third week of January, I believe, and he's going to say more about that. And Brother Gary, we might give you plenty of time next Sunday if that'll be all right. I appreciate the good singing today. Wasn't it great? Amen. I appreciate Jordan and Miss Cindy. I know that you've had your wagon full and God's gave you a good report from your test. Thank the Lord for that. But what an awesome song. And then the trio, the only thing wrong with them guys singing, that's about the first time they've sang now in about 3 years, Joe Barry. You're going to have to get after them. Amen. Get them back together before that. In 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 1, verse 18. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Merry Christmas, by the way. Let me say thank you for all your cards and gifts and everything. It's always a blessing. And let me go ahead. I'm going to cut this off for preaching time. Thank the Lord for all of you who brought gifts for the Highway Shepherd Ministry yesterday and those who bought the fruit and those who bought all so many bulk items. We had several people who gave bulk items. I mean, it's 1,000 items. And I really do thank you for that. And yesterday, I called Brother Bobby right after the service, right after we left the church here yesterday. And then I called a few preacher friends that pray for us. But yesterday, because of your generosity and all the workers who came and JC who and all those who helped him in the kitchen yesterday morning gave us a wonderful meal again. I don't have any idea how many people showed up to help us, but it was a great number of people. And we did 1,143 bags, wasn't it? 1,143 bags. And we loaded them down, and Brother T.G. and his crowd that goes with him, they went south, and Donnie and his crowd went up towards Emporia and then others around. And Andrew and Mason go all the way to Burlington. And he said it was awesome. So they gave out. T.G. said they gave out. And of all the, you know, so we thank the Lord we got the word out. Andrew was just telling me that they just had a great time. And one place they went, said there was a lady there. They had given out the bag. She came running out, and she grabbed hold of Mason, hugged him. She remembered him from last year and really appreciated him coming. So thank you for that. Pray that God bless that. This is the first year, I think, in the 20 years that Brother Bob and Lee wasn't able to be there. But they gave the bags, and they participated and helped us all the time. They were praying for us. I sure was. I appreciate that. All right. Let me read the text. Notice what it says in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I'm sure glad it's not foolishness. The cross, it doesn't seem impossible. Some time ago, I spent a long time talking to a Muslim on the phone, and he does not believe, and they do not believe, in salvation by substitution. And he made this statement that he would not be a just God if he punished somebody else for our sin. And you know what? I told him, I said, sir, he chose to do that. He let his son die that we might have life. But then I got to thinking about the truth of the Word of God. He did not let somebody else, or he did not put his judgment on somebody else. He put his judgment on himself, on his own son. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And can I tell you, Roy Rigdon and I were talking yesterday, and this, we all say it and we don't even think about it sometimes. He's the reason for the season, and he really is. It's all about his birthday, and it's hard to believe when you look at the number of things around, all the presents and all the gifts and lights, and even us, all of us get so involved in all that. But I've kind of rethought that statement. Brother Roy and I were talking about it yesterday. He's really not the reason for the season. You are, and I am. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. We were the reason for the season. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And to everybody in this building and everybody in the internet audience, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. And I want to remind you that you're the reason for the season, that he came to give his life for you on that cross to die for you. Turn over with me, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, I'll read one verse here. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read verse 20. Listen to what it said. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for this great crowd here this morning, for the vast radio and internet audience, for all our friends who've joined us by means of internet. Many of our members, our Father, who are not able to be here today or listening to us, Father, watching on the internet or listening on the radio or maybe just getting the audio feed. But God, I'm thankful again for all those who work in the E-team and make it possible for people great distances away to join us and be a part of the services. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, Lord, would bless every person who's listening to us. I know they've been blessed already by the singing, perhaps even now by the reading of the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts. Now, Lord, this is your place. These are your people. And our Father, I pray you'd minister to them. God, I ask that you'd use me. I pray, God, you'd remove far from me anything in my heart or mind or spirit that would hinder the Holy Ghost of God. God, you called me to preach. And God, you've anointed me to preach. And God, I ask, Father, in these few moments that you would speak to them. I believe already you have, to remind them that they are the reason for the season. There's no other reason for Jesus to be clothed in a body of flesh, no other reason for him to die a sacrificial death, than that you love the whole world and gave your only begotten Son, that whoso believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Father, I pray now that God, that you'd help them, and God, speak to their hearts, and those who may not know Christ this morning, here in the building or in the media audience, I pray, God, they'd be saved today. I confess, Lord, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. God, I pray you do it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I love all the decorations in the auditorium and Miss Frances and all those who help her and the beautiful greenery and the cross accented and the star, the poinsettia tree and all of that. And the Christmas tree out in the foyer, in the fellowship hall, the ladies' circle put up that beautiful Christmas tree. We've been cutting back at our house. At least that's what we've talked about for the last few years. And if we cut back next year like we did this year, you will not be able to come in our front door anymore. I was counting on the way over here. My wife loves Christmas trees, and I do too. And we decided we'd put up a new one. Not a new one, but a real one this year. We didn't have a real one last year. So we went and got a real Christmas tree. And so we cut back a little bit. I got to count up on the way over here. We don't have but 9 trees up this year. Got 2 outside on the porch and then in the bedrooms, on the nightstands or wherever, and all through the house. Even got one in the bathroom. And But we got them everywhere, and it's beautiful. I love the Christmas tree. And a lot of people, you know, they talk about the heathen emphasis about it, but boy, I love the way we do in the celebration of Christ, reminding us, and the song that Joe Berry sings about that evergreen tree. I want to be an evergreen, standing straight and tall and true for you. I want to be faithful to you. Evergreen, summer, winter, doesn't matter, good times and bad times. I want to be standing faithful for Jesus and live. And I'm thankful for that. I heard a song. I've been, like everybody, listening to Christmas music through this time of year, and I love every bit of it, and really enjoyed the other Sunday night. But at any rate, I heard a song this year I've never heard before. You may have heard it, and I've only heard it one time, and I'm not sure if it was on a gospel program that I heard it this year, or just maybe it was somebody local. It was professionally done. It was, I mean, good. The quality sound and everything. The music was great. And at any rate, it made this statement, I found what I really wanted under the tree. How many of you, boys and girls, they looking tonight for family get-togethers and tomorrow especially, that what you really, really want is under the Christmas tree? I got tickled a few years ago when my children were still little. How many of you remember when Sears and Roebuck catalog used to come to the house? Now, you get all kind of stuff now, but boy, I loved it. When I was little, I remember. I never did understand why they put all them clothes in the front of it. They should have put just one big catalog with toys. And but used to, children have a Christmas list, and they'd say, what do you want? They said, I want a dolly. Somebody asked a little boy, he said, I want two pearl-handled cap pistols. And you ask them, they want a bicycle. Now they do a computer printout. It's about that long. Most of them do. That's what they want for Christmas. But have you ever, and what I was going to say, some of them had the catalog several years ago when they were looking, and when they first got it, it's beautiful color and everything, opened it up right to the toy. Oh, that's what I really, really, really want right there. Looked at it a few minutes, turned the page. Oh, that's what I really, really, really want right there. And every page, that's what I really, really, really want right there all the way through. Sometimes we don't know what we really, really want. But just kind of make it simple, we want things that will make us happy. We want things that we would enjoy, things like that. And I heard that song this week. Boy, it really spoke to my heart. That's why I read the passages I did to you this morning. I found what I really, really wanted under the tree. There came a time in my life when I realized that all the things that I thought would make me happy wouldn't work. Some of you like that this morning. You've tried everything. You've tried relationships. You've tried all type of sin. You've tried all type of drugs and everything else. But you hadn't found any fulfillment, hadn't found anything. But I found what I really, really want underneath the tree. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ came, the Bible said, born of a virgin. And Miss Cindy sang about it. He came to die on that cross, to give his life a ransom on that tree. And he came and he took his place, lived a sinless life, and gave his life sacrificially to die on that cross. The Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. When man sinned, God cursed the ground for Adam's sake, brought forth thorns and thistles. And man fell. He became totally depraved. Everybody born in Adam's race is born alienated from God. They're lost. And they have something inside of them. First of all, I found what was really missing in my life underneath that tree. I found it. Nothing will ever take the place of what you'll find at the foot of Calvary. Nothing. Several years ago, Billy Graham made a statement, and he said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every human heart, and nothing can ever fill that void except for Jesus when he comes in your life. My dear friend, when I came to Christ and I knelt before him, I found what I really, really wanted under that Christmas tree. I found fulfillment of life. I found him meet that need that nothing else could meet. I found in him perfect satisfaction in his redemptive work. He forgave all of my sin. I found under that tree salvation, eternal, forever, ever, ever, I'll be saved. Thank God for that. You want to have a good gift, something's going to make you really happy. Well, I'm going to tell you, when God saved me, I've had in my heart an abiding joy and peace ever since. There's been times I've been away from God, out of fellowship with God, time when I create more, but way down deep inside, there is still that joy of knowing that my sins are gone and I'm saved for all eternity. I found under that tree a peace of God that passeth all understanding. I can't explain to you, but God gives us a peace in circumstances. I mean, bad circumstances. You may sit around and think, I could never go through that. I couldn't stand that. But for the child of God, He gives us the peace of God, the peace of God. We have peace with God. But He'll give us that peace of God when we need to. I mean, and when this heartache comes in your family, you say, I could never go through that. But God will give you a peace in the time of darkness, a peace of God that passeth all understanding. I remember Dr. Billy Conoy one time telling a story about him being on an airplane. And one of his heroes, an older preacher, and Dr. Conoy at that time was probably 50 or 60 years old, but this was an old preacher, famous preacher, traveling all over the country, preaching everywhere. And they were flying along, and Dr. Conoy said they were talking. And then all of a sudden, that old man looked at Dr. Conoy, and he said, Conoy, he said, I've preached salvation all my life. I believe it. I believe I'm saved. He said, but you know, I got a fear of dying. Why is that? And Conoy said, what in the world am I going to say to this man of God? Why is that? I preach, you know, there's no fear in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. There's a peace, no matter what. And he said, for just a few moments, he didn't say anything. He asked the Holy Ghost, God, help me. And God gave him a word for the old man. He said, Doc, I'll tell you why you're afraid to die, why you don't have any peace about it. He said, because you ain't dying. When you die, He'll give you that peace. You know, my sister called me, and I'm relating some stories I know you've heard before. My sister called me when my mama was in the hospital. Mama went home to be with the Lord when she was 87 years old. Never was sick very much. Had gallbladder for years and suffered with that. And she finally relented and let them take a gallbladder out. And then she wanted everybody she met to take your gallbladder out. She said, it'd be the best thing ever happened to you if you go have your gallbladder taken out. You can eat anything you want to. And I was 8 years old. She said, go take your gallbladder out, son. It'll do you good. You know, but Mama never was sick much. She's kind of like Mr. Jack Langdon. The year Jack Langdon died, I saw him out here in the ditch bank mowing grass, 95 years old. But anyhow, Mama never was sick much, and she was sick just a few months before she died. I went back and forth to Rock Rapids to see her. I was already pastoring up here. And my sister called me from Virginia and said, Billy, I don't know how to tell you that. I said, what? She said, Mama's afraid to die. She said she don't want the body around her. She's afraid she's going to leave her. She's afraid she's going to die. And I said, what in the world? And I went down and talked to her. You know how you do. You talked a little bit. And I said to her, Mama, I said, I need to ask you a question. I said, you're saved? She said, yeah, I'm saved. I said, you know, the Bible said if He gave you everlasting life, you could live forever. And to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. I said, you're not fixing to die. No, how? I said, you're going to get to go to heaven. And we all go to heaven. I said, but I may go before you do. I said, you're not fixing to die. You're going to go home out of here in a few days. And she said, I know. She said, I don't understand what it is. She said, I'm just kind of real anxious at night and everything. Anyhow, but she did get out the next day or two. And she went to my sister's house. And then my brother-in-law called me the next day, next morning, and said, Brother Billy, he said, your mama has passed away. And I said, no. I went down there and they told me, my nieces live right across the road, nurse and everything. And he said, Billy, wish you could have been here. He said, my mama was in the bedroom there where my sister lives, and my nieces and all live across the road. And I said, during the night, mama heard a little noise, went in there and said, Grandma was awake. He sat down to bed. And she said, what's the matter, Mama? She said, nothing. She said, call Shirley, call Kathy and tell them to come over here. And they came over there and she's sitting there in the bed. And she said, girls, I want y'all to sing. I want you to sing to me. And they said, what? I said, we want you to sing. I want you to sing to me. And she said, Shirley said, they sang Jesus Loved Me and Amazing Grace. And said, Mama laid her head on the pillow and died. Just that easy. And Shirley said it was just like angels in the room. There was no, she didn't have any anxiety, no fear. Now, Mama could have died in the middle of the night. Mama could have died any time. But I believe God allowed that to happen so that my sister, who was worried about Mama being afraid of death, could see somebody who, when you go really through the valley, He'll give you that peace of God that passes all understanding. You know what? I got that when I came to the cross. Under that Christmas tree, under the cross, a tree of Christ, I found a peace of God that passed all understanding. I found forgiveness for my sin. I found my friend, a friend who will stick closer than a brother. I found something to last me for all eternity. I'm fixing to quit. You know how kids used to do? They'd say that, I thank God I'm saved. I thank God He gave me His faith, His love. He's put faith in me and He's blessed me. Let me pastor this church. I was looking at all these people working around here yesterday and I said, this is amazing. And then when I listened to all the singing and all the talent in this church, it just absolutely blows my mind what God's done, what He's doing. And He lets me be a part of it. I'm so blessed to do that. And so when I think about salvation, the simplest part, if I gave my sin, He gave me a peace of God. He gave me something to last for all eternity. But kids used to say this. They didn't have a long list. They had two or three things, like I said a while ago. But then they'd say this, and lots of surprises. Lots of surprises. I don't hear them say that much more no more because they don't know what they're going to get, you know. Lots of surprises. Can I tell you what I found under the tree? I found life everlasting. I found a peace of God that passes all understanding. I found something that's going to last me for all eternity that's going to take me to heaven. But in all these years I've been saved, I've had lots of surprises. I'm telling you right now, He's been so good to me. I wish I could tell you how He's sent in the darkest hours of my life the sweet Holy Ghost of God to bless me. How that when we were going through financial needs as serving God, walking with God, my dear friend, people would come up just out of the blue with somebody I didn't even know and help. And it's not quit yet. It's getting more and more every day. I shared with prayer meeting a few weeks ago. We had a need at the highway with a highway shepherd right here at the end of the year. Brother Donnie had been doing an appreciation in October. I never paid much attention to it, but it was always a good offering. We went right on through the first of the year and everything, but we didn't do it this year. And I found out that Santa Claus is a good guy, but he comes, takes all the money starting about November. And you know what? There's no extra to go around. But anyhow, we had a need. I'd sent off some invoices and everything. And then, I told him at church, I said, I went there that morning and I just prayed and I said, now Lord, I said, You've been so good. 20-something years now, You've met every need. I said, here it is. I know the need. I know Mississippi will be calling me the next day or two. We got to go through Christmas and all the activities of that and putting out a highway on CDs on Christmas Eve and all that. Anyhow, I had a figure in my mind of what I thought I needed. And before the day was over, I had somebody call me and I was really, really busy. And I didn't think I had time to go talk to him. And I said, well, I will. So I went. And they talked to me about what they want to talk to me about. And they said, by the way, we want to send you a little gift for the highway shepherd. Said, you'll get it next day or so. Well, that was the first part of the week. And when I was praying, and Wednesday morning, I went to the mailbox. And that brother had wrote a check for 5 times more than I felt like we needed. 5 is the number of grace. Boy, I've had lots of surprises. He's given me blessing. I've seen people saved. I've seen God move in great revival services. I've seen miracles. Lots of surprises. Can I say this to you? We've experienced in this life, and you have, a lot of surprises since you've been saved. Some things happened weren't so good, but a lot of things have been great beyond your wildest imagination. How could God ever be so good to us? How could He ever bless us like He has? But I'm going to just tell you, we hadn't seen nothing yet. I, for these many years, trying to preach 50 years, I've tried to tell people about heaven. I thought about our little girl, Regina, and my little girl, Christy, that's up there, oldest daughter's in heaven. Brother T.G. and I were talking yesterday. Yesterday, was Troy's birthday. He'd have been 28 years old, I believe. He said, that's hard for me to believe. 28 years old. He's been in heaven now 20 years. And it's going to be a wonderful thing when you get to heaven and see folk. And we think about that, think about all things. But you know what? We hadn't seen anything yet. When we get to heaven, there's going to be so many surprises. I mean, so many wonderful experiences that it'll last us all eternity. And the sad thing about it is you can miss every bit of that by getting caught up in Christmas and miss the tree, the real tree. You can find everything you need under this tree that'll last you for all eternity, the cross. I invite you to come this morning to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. I want to thank the Lord for it. I was trying to think, you know, I like to do a little acrostic, something to keep in your mind. It helped me remember stuff. He's the greatest gift. Thanks be unto God for the greatest gift. And G reminds me of the grace. We're saved by grace through faith. The letter I in that word gift, he's a great gift. He is an intercessor. The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's praying for us right now, calling your name right now. And then that letter F, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's never left me for one second since I've been saved. I like a little song that Craig Edwards sing, though I fail the Lord, he's never failed me. He never failed me. He's been a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But then I come to that letter in the last word of gift. I thank God for his grace and his intercession. Thank God for the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. But if it hadn't been for that tree, none of it had been possible. On that tree, according to the book of Colossians, we now have peace through the blood of his cross. Will you bow with me for prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Thank the Lord for you being here today on Christmas Eve. Lord, I want to thank you for letting me be here. God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to bless your people. Lord, so many wonderful families here. I, Father, thank you for my family being here and other families that have come in to be with their loved ones. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just bless. And God, we just thank you. So many material things, so many just good times of fellowship, so much food. But I, Father, the greatest gift of all was salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have the wife I had if it hadn't been for salvation. I wouldn't have these wonderful children, grandchildren, and Lord, our in-laws and others, Lord, that would be a part of this family here at Benson Grove had it not been for the fact that you were willing to go to the cross and bear my sin in your own body on the tree. Thank you for that tree. And thank you, Lord, that at that tree, under that tree, I found everything I really, really, really wanted. And Lord, if you'd ever bless us again, God, you've given us enough now for all eternity we could praise you and give you glory. While we're praying, would you stand with your heads bowed, please? While the instruments play this morning, Brother Brad, sing a verse of song in a minute. Can I ask you a question? Brad's already given the appeal already. Do you know him? Do you know him? I promise you, I would love to have every one of you to be a member of this church. This church family would love for you to be a part of this church family. But that's not where it's at. It's at Calvary. It's at the cross. Old Danny sings that song. I came by the way of the cross. I found it under that tree. Everything I really, really, really wanted. And you can too. He'll change your life. He'll make you a brand new creature. Not being a Baptist, not being a Methodist, Assembly of God, Church of God, or anything else, but knowing Christ. Have you ever really been born again by the grace of God? Has he ever done a work in your heart that gives you that forgiveness of all of your sin, that gives you the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Gives you eternal life that you'll never, ever perish. You'll live forever. Do you know that for sure? If you do, you ought to just thank him and praise him today. We want to give a minute of invitation. If you're here in the building, a visitor, guest, or a member, or somebody else, you say, Brother Billy, for the first time, the Holy Ghost of God's really done a work in my heart. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I sure would like to get that great gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I want to come and trust Him today. Maybe once again, something unusual. You don't have many opportunities to do this on Christmas Eve, just to slip around this altar and thank the Lord for the cross. Thank Him that under that tree, you found what you really, really, really wanted. Oh God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to help men and women, boys and girls to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. I pray, God, that they'd leave here knowing 100% sure that they're saved and heaven's their home. And God, I'll thank You and praise You, give You glory. While we have our heads bowed in an attitude of prayer, I invite you to come. And we're not going to be long, but you come if you need to get around this old altar today. If you need somebody to pray with you, we'll pray with you. If you're here, a visitor, a guest, or maybe a member, you've been attending a long time, but you don't know you're saved, come trust Christ today. If you need to come, you come right now. Will you come?